Forever. Hallelujah. So good to be in the house of the Lord. So good to be home. Brother Radford and I were just talking about some of the things at home. And I can report to you, and he can concur, that we have a great church, great people, great assessments come to the house of God when we believe him and acknowledge what he has given to us and blessed us with. And you need to turn to your neighbor and just say, thank God for a great church. Thank God for a great church. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. So good to have everyone with us in the house of the Lord tonight. Whatever your need is, it ought to be met at the house of God. I want to draw your attention to the book of Exodus, chapter 36. Exodus chapter 36. Verse number 1 and 2. Then wrought Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, according to all that the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every wise-hearted man in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. Several points in these scriptures. The service of the sanctuary. People that had wisdom and understanding that came from God. Every wise-hearted individual, everyone whose heart stirred them up and came to the work of God to do it. I'd just like to preach simply tonight the church service. The church service. The church service. Would you ask the Lord to help us tonight? Savior, we trust you tonight and believe you for your word and the word of faith. I ask you to help with the anointing of your presence upon our hearts and our ears that we may comprehend what you have for us in the house of God. I pray that you will work effectively in the hearts and lives of your children. I believe it now in the name of the Lord. Oh, lift your hands together and worship him. Would you ask and invite his presence to be mightily moved in this house tonight in the name of the Lord. That's right. We need something from God tonight. We need a touch of God, and we need the conviction of the Holy Ghost tonight in this house. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. One of the greatest things that can happen to a church is that you can have a revival in your spirit to where you become somebody that has a willing heart to do the work and service of the sanctuary. It was the Apostle Paul who wrote these words in the first chapter of the book of 2 Timothy, the 6th verse. He said, wherefore I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. There was something that had happened that the apostle wanted Timothy to remember, his experience in the house of God. There was something that had happened to him that he never wanted him to forget. I wonder tonight if you could let your mind just briefly go to some time in your history when you can remember an experience that you had with God that stayed with you and lasted, and you referred to it and you went back to it and you put some confidence in it. I was so amused and amazed at some of our young men, and I watched as they worshiped God, and I was especially surprised and happy to see Brother Eric as he was moved on by the Holy Ghost, and it didn't matter who was around him or who was watching or who was concerned. He was wanting to get something from God, and he was up in the air, and he was down on the ground. He was around and about because he was wanting something from God, and others the same. I'd just like to preach to you a little bit tonight about the church service. This is where we come together and we forget about where we are, who our past is, what our relatives are doing. We have come together tonight to be in a church service. This is not about what I wear. It's not about who I came to see. It's about who I am and who I came to worship. And when I come to the house of God, I come in these doors recognizing that there is a wisdom that came from God. And the Bible said, every wise-hearted man to whom the Lord had put wisdom and understanding in them to know the work of all the manner of the work for the service of the sanctuary. And I just like to preach to you about a church service and what it should do and what we should be involved in doing in every church service we come together for. I intend every day of my life to live for Jesus. How about you? I intend as a preacher, every time I get an opportunity to preach, to exalt the name of the Lord. I intend to hold the doctrine of the Bible and the Scriptures and the New Testament salvation message, which was typed in the Old Testament, fulfilled in the New Testament, and is alive tonight in this church. Hallelujah. We don't have a dead service. We don't have a dead church. We don't have an old doctrine. We don't have a dogma of men that was given to a church some years ago, but we have a gospel that came directly from the Lord. God gave it to the Apostle Paul. God revealed it to his direct apostles. He named them and put them in place, and they went to an upper room, and they had an experience that was recorded in the Bible, and it's still with us today. I'm sorry if you don't know about Pentecost, but I'm here to preach to you tonight that an upper room experience happens every time the body of Christ gets together. It is the will of God that something happens in every church service. It's the will of God that individuals that are wise-hearted, maybe not wise on sending a rocket to the moon, you may not have the creative ability to draw and design an automobile and the engineering ability to build a bridge and to draw the plans of architecture for great buildings, but if you have the wisdom to come to the house of God tonight, you're wiser than the master builders of our world. You have something in you that God has given to you. And that wisdom brought you to the house of God. You made a choice. You made a choice where you went tonight. You could be in a bar tonight. You could be in a dance hall tonight. You could be stuck as a couch potato behind a television that instructs you, and you live by those instructions and you die by them. But you said no to the world, and you had enough wisdom from the Holy Ghost to be in the house of God tonight. You need to let the devil know that God gave you that wisdom, and God gave you that understanding, and you're in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight to make this house a place of worship, and to make have the wisdom to have a church service. Forget about what church services are in the world. Forget about what they do in their rituals, and let the Holy Ghost do something for you tonight in the house of God. Somebody came tonight because they need a change in their life. Somebody came tonight because they need an experience with God. Somebody have the wisdom tonight to make the church what the church ought to be. Hallelujah. Another scripture in the book of Exodus said, everyone whose heart stirred him up and everyone who his spirit made him willing. That's the 35th chapter of the book of Exodus. That's Old Testament scripture. And I like the Old Testament for a type. And some people say you shouldn't read the Old Testament. But I'm here to tell you, if in the Old Testament they stirred themselves up, and if the Old Testament they put their heart to do something, how much more should we in an apostolic
apostolic church stir our hearts up and say, hey, I have come to the house of God tonight to have church. I came not to be socialized. I didn't come now just to be fed and tickled my ears with some new happening. I came to let my soul be a part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. If somebody doesn't get something tonight from God, it may be their last time in a church service. I'm not saying that as fear or threat. It's just reality. Some visitors come, and that may be the last time they come to a church. It's time for us to recognize and be willing to be of service in the sanctuary and do a work for God every time we come together. Oh, hallelujah. I'm fired up at the devil. He's got ball games and stadiums and theaters. He's got all kinds of things where people's hearts are affected for a little while. And there's pleasure in sin for a season. But I can tell you, in my lifetime, I have never been disappointed in God. I have never been disappointed to raise my hand. I have never been disappointed to praise the name of the Lord. I have never been disappointed in a church service when people come together and worship Jesus Christ. Oh, somebody ought to worship Him. Somebody ought to worship Him. We don't need to wait for somebody else to stir us up. We don't need for somebody else to make a move. We need to make a move. We need to stir our own selves up. I'm not saying you have to run an aisle. I'm not saying you have to shout and jump. All I'm saying, if you can lift a hand and you can express your love, it affects somebody by you. Oh, hallelujah. See what I'm talking about? Just then, I didn't tell you to raise a hand. I didn't tell you to say anything. But it does something to us. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Our hearts should stir us because this is our first love. Our hearts should stir us because we know what can happen in the unity and the fellowship of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. A church service does not start at 7 o'clock here or 6 o'clock here or 10 o'clock here. A church service starts way before you ever get here. Hallelujah. I get excited about coming to the house of God. I know I'm a preacher, so I think about it all the time. I'm constantly thinking about the Word of God. And you preachers know what I'm saying about that. But I'm Christian, first of all. And in my heart, I want to be here to worship Jesus. I want to be here for something to happen in my soul. So I prepare my heart. And I want God to do something in every church service. I want this service tonight to be effective for somebody in the kingdom of God. Oh, hallelujah. I'm tired of playing around with the devil. I think it's time for us to let him know that this is not just another little worship service of denominational boundaries. This is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I came to worship Him. Devils have to flee when the saints of God come together. So David wrote these words, Old Testament, without the Holy Ghost, without a real move of God like we have experienced. But he said this about coming to church. He said, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. That means before the service starts, when you're entering the property. Not every church has a gate, but we have a gate. Before you ever come through that gate, you need to leave your petty arguments on the outside. You need to leave your hurt feelings on the outside. You need to leave your grievances with your boss and the troubles with family and the sorrows of life outside and enter. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. And enter. We were talking the other day about our church. Somebody say our church. I can't tell you, we don't tell you to stand during worship time. We just stand during worship time.
But you know what? I've been to a few things that may be important to some people. And in a few days, there may be a political figure come through Bakersfield, and you may want to go see them. Everyone that I have ever gone to see, or any time that I have ever been close to somebody important in the midst, they're not sitting down, they're standing. How much more for the King of Glory? I'm not going to tell you to stand and worship tonight while I'm preaching. But I know one thing, when you feel the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you're not just sitting there, but you're standing with uplifted hands and you're worshiping the one that has delivered you from sin and given you victory in your soul. Let me tell you, friend, Jesus' name baptism is more than a ritual. Jesus' name baptism washed your sins away. I think a day has come where we don't just come to church, but we enter the gates with thanksgiving. In your car, there ought to be some praises go up before you ever come to the parking lot. Oh, help me preach a little bit. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. With praise. We sang that song, Lift Up Judah. Send up Judah, send up praise. That's what it means. Judah is praise. And I'm not going to preach a whole message on praise tonight, but we ought to automatically worship Jesus Christ. I'm not here to show off. I'm not here to put on some type of a display. I came as David to dance before the Lord. And when some carnal person says, you better watch what you're doing. Don't you know who you are? Don't you know what your reputation is? And David turned to her and said, listen, if God puts it on me, I'll do worse than that. I have come to worship him tonight. I'm tired of the devil stealing our victory. I'm tired of the devil sitting on the congregation of the righteous. I'm tired of the devil taking young people and telling them and talking to them that it's better in the world. Oh no, this is a church where young people have the energy to worship God, and something can happen in an apostolic church service. Oh hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And so he told us to enter the gates before you ever get to the building. Your mindset already rolling. I'm going to have a great time in the house of God. I'm going to make the church what it ought to be. We as apostolics tonight, you can be seated. We as apostolics tonight know what it is to have church. But every once in a while, somebody comes and visits us. And they don't know what it is to be in an apostolic church. If we're not apostolic in our doctrine and Pentecostal in our experience, we need to put Baptists up or something else up. We need to be guilty of being Pentecost. Now, I'm not going to preach about fanaticism, and I'm not going to try to get out on a limb somewhere. I'm just going to be as solid as I know how. It was in the upper room that they just began to worship and praise God. They exalted the name of the Lord, knowing that something had been promised to them. And the Lord said, go to Jerusalem and tarry there until something happens. Until you be endued with power from on high. I'm sorry about dead religion. I refuse to let the church of the Lord Jesus Christ be something that a sinner can come to the house of God and not feel something and know that God has been among us. Oh, hallelujah. My spirit is charged tonight. I'm going to tell the world the best place to be is an apostolic church. I'm going to tell a young married couple the safest place to be is in an apostolic church. I'm going to tell a young person the best place to be is an apostolic church. I came to have church tonight. How about you? I came to have church tonight. How about you? I came to let the devil know I'm not afraid of his tactics, nor am I ashamed to be a Christian. I came to have church. I said I came to have church. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he said, enter. Enter. Oh, hallelujah.
You know, I'd like to almost send everybody out of this building. And let us all come in at one time with thanksgiving. Woo! Hallelujah. And enter his courts with praise. Walking in the house of the Lord with your hands raised and praising him because you have lived for him another week. You've given him victory in your life another week. Those that are wise hearted, those that had understanding, those that are in the will of God, they came to do the service of the sanctuary. They came to do the service of the sanctuary. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of seeing churches file in and file out and no change in their life. They're still hungry and still desperate for something. It can be different in the apostolic church. First Pentecostal church is not a dead church. It's not a dead church. It's a powerful church. It's a church that's alive. We're full of worship. We're full of praise. We're full of the will of God. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah! I feel the touch of the Holy Ghost in this house tonight. We're not just a church. We're a living organism. There's something alive in the house of God tonight. This is a church service. This is a church service. Our worship is to Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm not near through, but I can tell you, this is where it's happening. This is where it's happening. This is where the Holy Ghost is. This is where God dwells. This is where you can get something for your spirit and change your life and turn your life around. Shout hallelujah, Ronnie! Shout hallelujah, Ronnie! I'm telling you, it can change your life. It can turn when a church service becomes church to us. Hallelujah. 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 And you can be seated. If that is the entering in. If that's just entering in. What would happen in the worship service? By him, the writer of Hebrews said, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. If the entering in is with thanksgiving and praise, what would happen if in a worship service, everybody with one mind and one accord recognized that a visitor or a sinner or a backslider or somebody in trouble slips in the door and they feel something going on that changed their life? I wish I had Brother Ronnie's card. He sent me the most beautiful card and he told me and the church how great it is to be among a people that makes you feel welcome and makes you feel like you have some worth. That's what the church ought to be. That's what the church ought to be. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not time for us to become a denomination. It's time for us to become the body of Christ. It's time for somebody to get something in their spirit that'll change their life forever. Hallelujah. 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 I'm sorry what the world would have done with Brother Ernie and Sister Tanya. But when they walked in an apostolic church, something was going on. And they're still here through the troubles, the trials, the effects of society. Because the church was vibrant. A church was alive. Oh, hallelujah. I'm sorry. I'm not going to let revival die. I think revival ought to be in the church till Jesus comes. We ought to be excited about every church service. And so we come to the house of God for the worship service. And the songs are being sung. Cell phones should be turned off. Texting should be forgotten about. Notes should be put away. Purses under the pew. Wallets in the pocket. Thinking about tomorrow should be forgotten about for the moment. And we should have church like we've never had church every service. I'm telling you, when you have church like we're having tonight and that we've been having for some time now, it'll make every sinner that walks through the doors at least recognize there's more to God than a statue. There's more to God than a ritual. There's more to God than just a building. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, I feel good in the Holy Ghost tonight. I wonder what's happening right now in somebody's spirit in the church service tonight. I wonder what's happening in your heart right now in the church service right now. Apostle Paul wrote these four little short words. He said, quench not the spirit. That means don't bring a water hose and cool it off. I wish somebody's soul would catch on fire. And don't quench it. And don't quench it. This is the church service. Oh, hallelujah. And when you come to the church service, you're tired, I know. You're exhausted from the week work and you're exhausted from all that you've gone through. But that's why you enter with a proper attitude. That's why you come through the gates with a proper thinking. Because when you get to the worship service, it's time to put everything else aside. And my God promised in the worship service that the Holy Ghost would be there. And there would be rest for your soul. There would be rest for your soul. For with stammering lips and another tongue would he speak to this people saying, this is the rest. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I am exhausted in body. I drove for a long time and sat behind the wheel for a long time. I woke up as an old man this morning, but right now there's a rest in the Holy Ghost. I feel the power and the presence of Almighty God because something happens in the church of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah! And so the worship service is part of the church service. And then we come to the Word of God. And the Word of God is broken. And it's preached. And it's distributed. And I've said this many times, but it's so rich to me that I want to repeat it again for myself. It was the spoken word when God spoke the creation into existence. It became the spoken word to those that he created. They repeated it often. And as they repeated that spoken word, it became a history for the children of Israel. And it became so powerful that before there were books to read, instruction manuals to write, they listened as the oft-told story was told over and over again. And the Jewish history has been given down through the ages. There is not another history. There's been some duplications and some copycats. But I'm telling you, when God spoke to Moses, he began to write, and Jesus himself referenced it in his own life. When he said, in beginning at Moses and the law and the prophets, those things concerning myself. And he wrote and acknowledged that Moses had received the spoken word, and it became the written word, and it was written on tables of stone. It was written as laws and ordinances, and it became a part of their life, and they lived by it. They died by it. It was part of their existence. But in the New Testament, the Bible prophesied in the old that he would take that old hard heart, that old heart of flesh, and he would put his word in it, and that heart would become a moldable heart, a touch heart, a reachable heart. And that's why I read to you this text tonight, that those who stirred themselves up, those that were wise of heart, those that had been given wisdom from God and understanding of God, stirred themselves up, and the worship service prepared their heart for the preaching of the word of God. You know what I believe right now? I believe there's somebody in this service that's hearing what's going on and are experiencing a tug in their heart for the Holy Ghost. And what is the church going to do? The church, as a mother about to give birth, is not going to sit there idly and prop up their feet and say, oh, I wish something would happen. The church is suddenly going to feel the impulse of a baby being born. And Zion is going to bring forth, oh hallelujah, because the preached word of God became the written word of God became the preached word of God, and the preached word of God became the engrafted word of God, and it's that word that's in our hearts today. And it all happened in a church service. But it doesn't stop there, because in just a few moments there is what we call the altar call. We've fastly moved through just the normal operation of a church service. Up to this point, our faith is being built. We're releasing our faith. We're interacting with God. We're standing at attention when His presence is evident. And we feel and witness the move of the Holy Ghost. And the awesome presence of God makes us stand in awe at the word of God that's preached. And you have stood without being prompted tonight. You have stood because something in you connected with the word of God. But can I preach to you a few more minutes on this part of our lesson tonight? That as the climax of a service comes, it comes to the altar call. Oh, how cold it is for a sinner to walk to that aisle and walk to that altar. How difficult it is for them to make that first step and make it to an altar. But in a church service where people are excited about somebody getting the Holy Ghost, a sinner, a visitor, a backslider, somebody cold, indifferent, lukewarm, troubled, or disturbed, or just needing a renewal about the first step out of the pew, there ought to be a bunch of people already heading to meet them in the birthing room. You ladies like to show up when every newborn babe, you'll sit up all night. You're so excited to see, hear, and know what's going on. You'll be in the congregating room and visiting room, and you'll be the first to call on the phone. It's here. It's a boy. It's a girl. Whatever. And you're calling. How much more? How much more? How much more should it be when somebody steps out of an aisle and makes their way to the birthing center after the message has been preached and the word of God is born in their heart? Oh, can I preach to you? Can I preach? Oh, you were shouting a while ago when you could do something for yourself. But how about somebody else? How about somebody else? I don't want any dry births around here. I don't want somebody to struggle to get out of the womb with no help. I'm glad you women help one another. It's exciting at every birth to know about the child. But how much more should it be in the house of God, where every church service ought to be a birthing center for somebody. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, get the devil off your back right now. I'm talking about something happening in the church. We don't have to have services that end up dry and empty. We don't have to come to church and go home disappointed. Oh no. We have a God that wants this church service to have a move of the Holy Ghost. Yes. And we have. Yes. Devil, you're a liar. Yes. So Hebrews said, we have, you can be seen, we have an altar. We have an altar. I have visited altars high in the mountains, low in the caves, rural areas, and populated areas. I've been where churches were open all day long, and there were those that ministered the candelabras and the coin boxes around the altars to idols. I've watched as those with hungry hearts, something driving them on the inside to put 50 centavos, 50 lira, a euro, some form of currency in a box and light a candle and walk away untouched. And really unmoved and unaffected. I watched as people have come by altars where they had idols made in the likeness of humans. And the money coffer was there. Before you ever got to the idol was an offering basket. And that was their important spot. If you got there, they were happy. Because when you walked past, there was no change and nothing happened. There was no deep spiritual move of God. We don't have the offering baskets at the end of every pew saying, if you give, God's going to do something for you tonight and you need healing, give first. No, 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 no.